the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, it's October 19th, 2016, as I say in our prayer before we go on the program here, that Lord, I'm making another one. This right here, this is the day that the Lord has made. This one right here. He didn't make tomorrow yet, and yesterday's gone. That's why he's ever present, I am. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's great to rest in that, isn't it, that truth, that no matter what happens, there is an unchanging, immovable force that it's at work all around us. I said to my wife last night, y'all try this, by the way. We had a lousy weekend, I think I told you. That spirit of fear was all over us. And before we fell asleep last night, we prayed together, Lord, just you take control of our mind tonight, Lord. Give us a restful night's sleep and not be any torment or anything like that. And you know what? 30 seconds later, it was 5 o'clock. It was like unbelievable. And I think if we are so, I want to make this sound okay. We have so little faith in the Lord and in the Word. And even though he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, government shall be upon his shoulders. He shall be a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. That statement right there in Isaiah is unbelievably profound, isn't it? Of the increase of his government and peace. See, God's government's expanding, whether we see it or not, or whether we've hit a blurb or a speed bump here in America. He is more in control today than he was yesterday. It's ever expanding. And because we live in time and space, and we're walking through this time and space continuum, we have no concept of what's going on beyond the realm in which we're living. Right now, today, somebody is waking up in Manhattan, New York. Somebody is waking up in Lima, Peru. Lindell is on here with us from Lima, Peru. But we all live in this little box that our life exists in, and we are oblivious to larger things that are going on. I wonder, can you imagine the terror that's going on some places in the world right now? I don't mean terror. See, they've made us think terror to be terrorism. That's not what I'm talking about. People right now, as we speak, are dying.
Right now.
Maybe it's a car accident. Maybe they're having a heart attack. Maybe somebody's broken into their house. Maybe they're being robbed at a gas station right this very minute. People are dying. This second, right now, is the most cataclysmic moment in the life of some people. It's happening. As we're on this show, just kind of messing around, right? It doesn't matter to us because it isn't happening to us, see? And so what happens to us, I think, is we get kind of a, Lord, help me with some words here this morning. We get such a small view of what's really going on. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you a little bit about today. A couple of reasons. This election thing, I hate to stay on the election thing, but I think it's just critical. I'm going to ride the horse because I think it's critical. I think it's critical that we do it. I got into one of those email battles yesterday as I'm trying to draw people to a larger vision. I want to say this, right? A couple things. Number one, I want you who are part of this program, some of you are listening to it for the first time, and I have to tell you, you're jumping in on page 85, and so you may not know what happened page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're jumping in late, and those of you who've been with us for a long time, you're keeping up, and you know the genesis of this and what we're going on, and the truths that we've discussed and the truths that we've unraveled. And unfortunately, there are people who are tuning in today for the first time who don't know what we know or what we've discussed. You guys, you all with me on that? So it's a very difficult, I find myself in a very difficult spot because not everybody knows what we know, or not everybody has the understanding of what we have. And we can only operate, all of us can only make decisions based on the information that we have. Somebody say amen or give me a thumbs up. And so a lot of the stuff that we see going on and a lot of the conflict, we've been talking a lot about fear recently. One of the problems that we're having with fear, as I said yesterday, fear is a primary emotion that brings anger. And people get angry when they get fearful because they're uncomfortable. It's our natural reaction of how we're supposed to react. And so when we dive into politics, we dive into all that stuff, I don't want to come across as being, I hate to use that word judgmental because that's what the left uses. I don't want to come across as holier than thou when somebody says, listen, I want to vote for this guy because of my conscience. I don't ever want to come across as saying, listen, I'm more righteous than you. I'm more righteous than you. And I'm hearing that a lot on the internet. People are saying to me, coach, you've disappointed me. Can you support Trump? Yada, yada, yada. And the bottom line is they are saying to me, I'm more righteous than you. I'm more righteous than you. I won't compromise. You have compromised. I try not to get angry with them because here's what I know. They don't know what I know. If they really knew what I knew, they would see everything differently. Now, how do we help them see things differently? Or the big picture? That's my great struggle. Right now, that's my great struggle. And I want to continue to talk about, can you believe the corruption that's being exposed? If we don't thank Donald Trump for anything at all, how about the corruption that is being exposed to all of us? Stuff that we knew. I remember I wrote a commentary for News with Hughes back in 2003 or 2004. I could go search it out. And I entitled it, Two Legs of the Same Bug. And I was talking about the political system. That up at the top, they're on the same team, but there are two legs that come down. And we look like it's two different bugs, two different legs, but it's not. It's two legs running to the same control. I've been saying that for 15 years. And I had lunch with a ex-pastor yesterday. God bless him, good man. And he admitted 10 years ago, 12 years ago, he thought I was lost my freaking mind. Now he doesn't. Now he sees things differently, see. So we're all on a journey. And what I try to say when those of you who are watching this program, I try to bring new information to you, and I want to let the Holy Spirit guide you into all truth. I do not ever want this program to be, coach says it, I agree with him, that settles it. I don't ever want it to be that way. I want to bring to you what I have discovered and then let you figure it out for yourself. Or as the scripture says here in our queue, in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. If we lay an issue on the table, maybe together the Holy Spirit working through all of us here at the bottom, maybe we can figure it out. Maybe we can have a discussion and we can get to the truth, because ultimately, isn't that what we all want? Don't we all want to believe truth? Truth's scary. It is. It's scary. It's scary, but it is what it is, and it's only the truth that sets us free, which, by the way, I've heard that one misquoted more times than I can even spit. The Bible does not say that the truth shall set you free. That's not what the Bible says. Does anybody know what the Bible says? We're leaving out a little phrase in there. It's pretty critical. It says, you shall know the truth. Knowing the truth sets you free. The truth doesn't set you free, because the truth is always right before us, and sometimes we can see it and sometimes we can't. But when you know the truth, then freedom comes. I saw something. I want to throw this out because of a situation that's happened around me in the last few days, as if we didn't know this. The Lord has helped me to see that the criminal justice system in America is patterned after hell. After Satan and hell. The criminal justice system has nothing to do with justice. The criminal justice system is all about tyranny. You're wrong, we're right, your butt's in trouble. You have no rights, you're not even a person, you deserve damnation. Has anybody even been involved with the criminal justice system that would disagree with that? It is a caricature of what hell would be. Because the Bible tells us that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I'm going to tell you guys, there ain't no spirit of the Lord in the justice system. There's no liberty in it. Yes. Somebody, Larry or whoever?
Yeah. You know, there's one very visible proof of what you just said. Where is the one place in the American government and Americans in society that the Bible has not been removed? It's in a court where they swear on it. And by God, the Bible says three times, don't swear on this thing. Don't swear on anything. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. So yeah. The one place they haven't kicked the Bible out is where the Bible is contravened by the use they make of it.
Unbelievable. You're right, Larry. You're right. And it's funny how they, when the government gets control of it, the name of it means the exact opposite. For instance, the Department of Education. Are you kidding me? Huh? What? The Justice Department? Justice? Are you watching what's going on? Are you kidding me? How about this? Health and Human Services or whatever. Pick them out. Whenever the government gets it and puts a name on it, it becomes the opposite of what that name is. And President Obama, President Obama yesterday said there's no cheating in elections. How could anybody do that with a straight face? How could they do that with a straight face? But they do. They do. Oh man! Oh man! Oh man! So I got someplace I want to try to take it. Homeland Security. There you go, JR. Homeland Security, right? Oh yeah, Patriot Act. Yeah, that's a good one. Oh man, they're great with words, aren't they? But their words mean just the opposite. See, it's George Orwell's 1984. We're living it, and we're so conditioned and so programmed and so used to it. That we think it's normal. We think it's normal. Oh, Lord help us. Lord help us. Because listen, understand this. In the criminal justice system today, unless you are in a position of authority, in the criminal justice system today, you are guilty until proven innocent. Yeah. There is no doubt about it. If you go out and you get arrested today, they're going to take you into jail and they're going to treat you like the scum of the earth. Even though you might be innocent, you're presumed guilty. That's why you're in jail. That's why you were arrested. And anybody that comes to the jail to visit this scoundrel that's in jail, well, you're a butthole too. He's your family member and he broke the law. I hope none of you get arrested. That's just tell you that's the way it is. It's a vision of Satan, see? It's a vision of Satan. Satan has set that whole system. It is a microcosm of the liberty of Christ and the bondage of hell. The liberty of Christ and freedom from sin. It's a great picture. Great picture. Hey, for those of you who want to chat over here, there's chat going on. I have to tell you, I have a hard time keeping up with the chat. But for those of you who maybe can't get into the show, there's some great chat going on over here at the side. And every once in a while, I give it a read. But I don't know about you. It's hard for me to read and talk at the same time. So I've been getting some emails saying, Coach, how come you don't respond to the chat? I'm responding here, okay? This chat is for you guys over here to be able to interact together. And if you want to jump in and talk to us, there's a phone number, 843-957-8180. Larry's going to screen that for us. 843-957-8180. Hey, Jared, let's pull up. Let's go to Matthew 16 real quick, Jared. This is where I want to start today.
Hey, Coach, while he's pulling that up, the chat that you're referring to for those who are not in the huddle is over at the YouTube live stream site.
Thanks, Sarge.
Our huddle site.
It's on. Hey, Sarge, also say something to people who've just joined us, how they can become part of our Facebook group, where we really, a lot of our good information goes there and where it's a closed group. And so people are out there say, hey, I want to know a little bit more about what's going on. How do they get there, Sarge?
Yeah, we ask them to join the brigade first. Just go to coachdavelive.com/brigade. And join the brigade, fill out the sign-up form, and then when you go to the Facebook site, if you have a Facebook account, we have a group, and it's just called SL Brigade. And just look us up, and once you're a member of the brigade, we'll let you into the private group.
Okay. Sarge is the commander of the Salt and Light Brigade, and that's the activist arm of what it is that we try to do. I'm an activist, not a pacifist. I'm an activist, and I'm trying to encourage other men to do it, but Sarge is coming along, and he's given us a great deal of organization in that area of it. Cool? Y'all with me? Again, 843-957-8180. I went to Matthew 16. This is really bothering me. It's really bothering me. Jared's got it up there for us. Excuse me. Here we go. Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came and tempting desired him that he should show them a sign from heaven. He answered and he said unto them, when it's evening, you'll say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. How about this one? Red sky at night, sailor delight. Red sky at morning, sailor take warning. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowing. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall be no sign given unto you, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Let me break that down for you, two different things. Number one, we should not be surprised when the wicked need a sign. We shouldn't be surprised by that. They don't have spiritual eyes to see what's going on, and the Bible says they need a sign. We ought to understand they need a sign. They're wicked and adulterous. They need a sign. And he says the sign that's going to be given to everybody, which was given to everybody, was the sign of Jonah, which is what? In the belly of the whale three days, and then resurrected out of it. That's what happened to Jesus. And when his disciples would come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Ooh, what is bread? What does bread symbolize? Jesus said, what? I'm the bread. The word is the bread. Bread, 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 bread. Understand the spiritual significance here now. Then Jesus said unto them, hey, boys, be careful and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Isn't it funny? They got physical bread, and Jesus says, be careful. Be careful, boys, because this bread, word of God, can be poisoned by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You guys better be careful with it. He wasn't talking about the physical bread, okay? But they understood leaven. They understood it to be a yeast that would make bread rise. They understood it. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? Which when Jesus perceived, he said that unto him. He said, oh, ye of little faith, why reason you among yourselves? Because you have brought no bread? Do you not understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets you took up? Or do you not remember the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? How is it that you not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread? So I'm not talking, you dummies, he just said. You saw me already create bread. Well, that's not what I'm talking about, he said. Probably said it nicer than I just did. How is it you don't understand I'm not talking about bread? That you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Come on, boys, get with a plan here. Then understood they how that he had bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He says, listen, boys, you better be careful, because they're going to give you some stuff they tell you is the word, and it might be of the word, but they're going to mix it with something else, and you better be careful. Because that leaven of the Pharisees is legalism. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the signs? That's another one, man. Go into government building. You walk into a government building and it's a constant sign. Don't do this, don't do that. Keep that out of here. Shut your mouth. Turn your phone off. Walk without shoes. It's amazing. The legal system, legalism, and Christianity, legalism. Say, oh, coach, are you anti-nomism? Most of you say, what is that? You reject the law? Of course. What are you talking about? Law's written on my heart. That's where he said it would be written. Not going to write it on tablets anymore. It's written on my heart. So I want to talk to you more about that, except I see Brian wants to jump in here on the phone. Let's go ahead and get him up in here, Larry, before we get too far down the road and maybe his comment is on something else. Hey, Brian, good morning. Welcome, bud. I don't want to hear him yet. Does anybody hear him?
Nope.
Not hearing him, Larry. Is Larry frozen up? I think Larry's frozen up.
I think so.
Hey, Larry, you got froze! So maybe you can get unfroze and get back in here. Let's go back to the leaven of the Pharisees. I'm heading somewhere, okay? Does anybody out there know? Let me see, Jared. I want to make sure I gave it to you. I did. Hey, Jared, take that one down, brother, and bring up the one I just sent you. It says pietism. This is what we're fighting in this election. Pietism. Because I run into a lot of people say, well, I can't vote for that guy. I can't vote for Trump. My conscience won't allow me to vote for Trump. And insinuating that they are more righteous than me because I can. Okay, with me? Righteousness through works. Righteousness through works, okay? I think my vote matters. I think it's important. But I think if I vote for Donald Trump, sorry, I don't think it's a sin. Sorry. I don't think it's a sin. Okay? But if you're pietistic, you do. I'm going to take you through this real quick so you guys are going to know what I'm talking about. Pietism it came from the Germans is really where it came from, Lutherans. And the pietism, Jared, if you just scroll down, I want to... comes to the Lutheran Church in 1670. Next chapter, next paragraph is where I want to stop, Jared. Okay. The philosophy of ministry that led to the pietistic movement has been held by true believers from the beginning. When Peter and John were forbidden by Jewish religious leaders to speak in the name of Jesus, they responded, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot be speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard. Pietism is in its most simple explanation, personal holiness. I'm for personal holiness. But if we're not careful, pietism will creep into the leaven of the Pharisees. Meaning what? I'm more righteous than you. Why am I more righteous than you? Because I will never vote for Trump. Therefore, I am more righteous than you. Now, if you guys are anything like me, you've had these fights over and over and over on the internet, on Facebook, and with your friends who are making that very declaration. You're sold out. You're not committed. You betraying the Lord. Coach, you're betraying all your followers, all those who've trusted in you, coach, blah, blah. And do you understand that they have now put a moral standard that people must live up to rather than the law written on the heart? It's now has to be a moral standard. And you are not a Christian if you vote for Donald Trump. Anybody with me? Know what I'm talking about? It is the leaven of the Pharisees. Jesus said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Because hang on now, hang on. I'm going to take you somewhere. Pietism would be this. My friend and I are walking down the highway. And we come upon a motorcycle accident. In fact, we will see the motorcycle accident happen. And the guy who's riding a motorcycle goes off the side of the road and he flips. We watch him flip and he goes up over this fence. His motorcycle comes to a rest and he's lying motionless beside his motorcycle. And we're walking along the road. We're about 100 feet from the accident. And my friend and I run up to where the accident is. And as soon as we get up to the fence, I'm ready to jump over the fence. And my buddy grabs me by the shoulder and says, no, coach, you can't. I said, what? No, you can't do that, coach. You can't go help him. Why? Look. And he points, and hanging on the fence is a no trespassing sign. So you can't go there, coach. You'd be violating the law. You cannot do that, coach. And I said, are you kidding me? There's a higher law. There's a higher law rather than just my personal holiness, my personal piety. There's a higher law. See, that's what happens to all conscientious objectors. I don't have a problem with a conscientious objector, but see, they are putting their personal holiness above the greater good. Is this making sense to anybody besides me? Because this is making perfect sense to me. So for someone to say, coach, you can't, look, there's the sign, never Trump. You can't do that, coach. Never Trump. You can't jump that fence. I say, wait a minute. There's a greater good here. There's a greater good. There's a greater good. And that greater good is the opportunity. I could give you 1,000 greater goods, 1,000 greater goods why I can vote for him. You say, oh, yeah, but he's pro-life with exceptions. Oh, really? Well, Hillary's going to kill everything that moves. Voting for him is a greater good. It's a greater good. Does it violate my personal standard of holiness? Yes. Is it okay, guys, to violate my personal standard of holiness for the greater good? Now, wait a minute, because people say, oh, there you go, coach. That's pragmatism. Okay, let's chew this one over a little bit. What's the difference between pragmatism and the greater good? And my friends out there who are giving me a hard time, they're giving me a hard time because, are you ready? Because of what they see, the moral condition of Donald Trump. They are stuck on pietism, personal righteousness. We are all unrighteous unless made righteous by Christ. All of us are unrighteous. I was once in that condition, but I look at the situation and I say, this unrighteous, unrepentant sinner is going to stop, says he's going to stop killing babies. This wicked witch over here wants to legalize abortion paid for by taxpayers. Does my personal holiness permit me the greater good? I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear from you right now. The phone number you want to call in, Larry hid it from me. Can't find it in there anymore. Oh, he got knocked off. We don't have it. Let me hear from the guys in the queue here. Somebody help me out here. Am I missing it? And where and how? Coach me up here a bit.
Hey, Coach, this is Kevin. I think you're spot on. In fact, Tom Horn made this very clear several years ago where he was talking about this whole concept of Christian against Christian. And that's what you see playing out right in front of our very eyes on Facebook is so-called other friends and relatives and whoever else that are, you know, Christians or claim to be Christians are hitting up those who are Trump supporters and saying, you know, you can't vote your conscience and still be a good Christian if you're going to vote for Trump. And it's like, you've got to be kidding me.
It's no trespassing sign, isn't it, Sarge? It's no trespassing sign. And it comes back to what I said. They are voting the way they're voting because of their realm of knowledge. What they know is keeping them voting the way they vote. And I'm trying to say, wait a minute, have you considered this? And they don't want to consider this. Go ahead, Jared.
Well, Coach, it's interesting, the legalism thing, it affects each person. Think about how people debate with you. Well, here's this Bible verse that proves my point. Here's this Bible verse that proves my point. Hey, are you leaving any room for the Holy Spirit? Are you leaving any room for your personal judgment? For like, look, this just makes sense. You don't have to think about it. It just makes sense.
Amen. Okay? That's right. And so do you understand the pietism and the legalism and the leaven of the Pharisees? Yes, the Bible says that. Yes, it does. But I can show you 15 other Bible verses that will trump that one depending on the application and the situation. And it's not situational ethics. It's taking the whole counsel of God and applying it in a situation that is before you. George.
Coach.
George,
can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Okay. Hey, Coach, you know what? It's a lot of just common sense. it's really, this election is really about tyranny versus a semblance of freedom. And we know if Donald Trump gets in, this country isn't going to be probably as free as we like. But, you know, as Americans, none of us have in our lifetime have seen total tyranny. And, you know, there's no question if Hillary Clinton gets in, there's a really great chance it's we'll live under tyranny.
Hey, George, let me amen, brother. Amen. But let me throw this one in this one. Hey, JR, if you had the opportunity to keep the Clintons from getting an office, that'd be a good thing, wouldn't it, JR? Wouldn't that be a good thing if you had the, if you could do that, if you could prevent babies from being slaughtered?
Job you, one.
Huh?
Job
that, one. That would be a Christian's job one, I think, right? She's a, I got 13, I have, I'm going to show you here in a minute, 13 felonies she's committed while in office, 13 felonies.
That we know of.
That we know of. And then we hear other Christians say, oh, I'm too holy. Oh, I'm too holy. I'll vote. No, no, no. No, no, no. It's your chance to for you to know to do good, not to do it. To you, it's sin. You say, well, yeah, well, coach, for me to vote for Donald Trump, that wouldn't be good. And so I can't do it. No, see, you're missing the whole picture. You're not seeing the bigger picture. Hear me. If Hillary Clinton is elected, abortion will never, ever be overturned, ever, ever, without the church rising up into some type of civil disobedience, which, by the way, James Dobson called for yesterday. I don't know if you saw that or not. James Dobson, he must be watching us. And because Hillary Clinton, if she gets elected, and she appoints, I saw this one, Obama as a Supreme Court justice, Eric Holder as a Supreme Court justice, you name them, abortion will be the law of the land for the next 100 years. Now, listen, somebody help me here. Isn't voting against that a righteous thing? How about this? What if I had to put an outhouse to block the passage? What if I had to pile excrement in front of the door to keep her from getting elected? Would that be a good thing? Somebody help me. I'm just thinking out loud. Somebody help me here.
You know, you mentioned outhouse on BJ's show Saturday.
I heard it.
he talked about the need for a honey dipper. And that's where I think.
Explain that, JR. Explain that, because that was a, well, that was a great.
I grew up in Appalachia, and we used to have these outdoor restrooms, if you will. Transgender, of course. But anyway, they'd get full of stuff. They get full of stuff. And so every now and then you'd have to have a honey dipper come in and get rid of the stuff. So the honey dippers don't necessarily smell all that well, and their language is a little coarse, and they may drink a little bit. Most of them aren't Christians, but they can clean up the stuff.
You're glad to have them come, aren't you, and you pay them.
Yep. Well, in Washington, D.C., that house there is also full of that stuff. And we need to get ourselves a good honey dipper to get rid of that. Before we do anything else, before we can get somebody, a Christian in office, you got to clear that. You got to clean that stuff up.
You do.
I think Donald Trump is the ideal honey dipper for our God.
Guys, can't you see this? That the media, the left, the Bushes, the Clintons, all of that machine, that political machine. Can't you see them trying to divide and conquer the church once again? Can't you see it? Can't you see it? And what is it that they are hitting Donald Trump with? Moral issues that will turn off the church. That's all it is. That's all they're hitting him with. He hates women. He uses the P word. He slept around over and over and over, trying to make him appear to be morally deficient. Hey, JR, so who can't vote for him? Who are they trying to get not to vote for him?
The Christians.
Are they worried about some beer-drinking, carousing former union worker down in West Virginia? They ain't worried about him because they're like Trump. They're not worried about them. They're trying to get pietistic, full of the leaven of the Pharisee Christians to turn against him. Do you see this, folks? Don't go. Come on. Can't you see this? It's what's going on. Say, boy, coach, you sure are all in for Trump. No, I'm all in against Hillary. I'm all in against Hillary. And Tom Hoefling, I wish I got to make a sign. Tom Hoefling will not be president. He's a good man. Maybe Tom Hoefling, over the next 4 years, he can get a movement throughout the church and wake up the church and get people to understand what's going on. So Tom Hoefling can ride the wave of the church. But right now, the church doesn't even know who he is. And this castle running on the Constitution Party, I went and early voted yesterday. There were seven candidates on the presidential ballot in Ohio. There's like 16 that are running. There are seven that are on our ballot. Seven. They say we need a third party. We already got a third party. We already got a fourth party, but there's only two that have a chance to win. So as a Christian, you got to make a decision. You have a chance to be the honey dipper, to bring the honey dipper in, or be pietistic and say, I can't. Oh, no, I'm far too righteous. And even worse than that, you Pharisees, you're telling me I'm not righteous as you. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's it. That is the leaven of the Pharisees. Self-righteousness. I'm going to say this. I was the chief of sinners. This guy right here. You know what happens to us sometimes? Sometimes we forget grace. We forget. I forget what I was. I forget what I was. I know what I could be right now. You give me $5 billion. I could act a Christian pretty good. I can make you think, look at some of our rich pastors and what's really going on behind the scenes in their lives. Money corrupts. We're hiring a honey dipper, as Jim said, somebody to try to fumigate the White House. And you won't choose Orkin because you don't like the Orkin man. You're waiting for somebody else to come along. You're looking for a better fumigator, trying to find a better one. Well, you have one choice. Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump. The most wicked pro-abortion candidate in the history of the world, or Donald Trump, who says he's pro-life. You say, well, he's not pro-life. He used to support Hillary. Okay, well, you know what she's going to do. She already told you. She's already told you. He says he's going to protect life. What's wrong with you?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Yes, you turned me on to Michael Savage, and for months now I've been listening to him, and really enjoyed his show Monday because he jumped on this WikiLeaks email where Hillary Clinton herself is implicated in choosing not to help an American citizen confront England for putting Savage on the terrorist watch list over there,
right,
and
right.
banning him from the country. He had evidence came out over the weekend that it was Hillary Clinton herself, in her official capacity as the Secretary of State, that refused to defend his free speech rights in England.
Michael, not only that, she didn't want to defend it because she said we may want to apply those same standards here.
And Savage, the most important point Savage makes is if you listen to him and you think about this issue and you separate yourself from Savage and you think, oh, yeah, well, Savage, he deserves it. I mean, he's mean.
Yeah,
he's
that's right.
Whatever,
that's right.
Uh-huh. You know? And so, yeah, he deserves it. Well, he hammered the point home yesterday. You're next.
I'm already on the list, right, brother? I'm next. That's what I said. Hey, folks, Hillary Clinton gets elected. Abortion will be the least of our worries. They're going to be aborting me. They're going to be aborting you. That's the least of my worries. And you know what? When they murder me, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to be, they'll be feeling good because they didn't vote for Trump. They'll feel good. So that's too bad about Coach. He was always running his mouth. He probably shouldn't have done that, but I was righteous. I didn't vote Hillary out. I threw my vote away on a righteous man. I'm probably ticking you off. I don't care. Jared, let's pull this up here real quick. Guys, have you seen, I want to show this, but I don't take it. Have you seen the Project Veritas videos? Have you guys seen those two videos that they've released on the cheating? It's 11 minutes. I want to show it because we have to see it. It's unbelievable. But I don't know if I want to take up that time to do it right now. Am I making sense? We'll see if we have a chance here. Jared, let's go to the first one there, bud. Excuse me. Let's go to treason, Hillary. That's it, brother. These are WikiLeaks. These are from WikiLeaks. Reveals Hillary's top 13 acts of treason. Guys, listen, these aren't felonies. We're not talking about acts of law breaking. We're talking about treason. Hey, Sarge. Guy's been in the Pentagon. Hey, Sarge, what's the penalty for treason?
Well, if you're a military guy, I think they still have the death penalty, but most of them just get life sentences. And if you're a civilian, same thing. Life sentence, sometimes even hard time.
So, hey, Sarge, so this lady here, we're actually considering putting her in as president of the United States when we have documented 13 acts of treason against the United States that she's committed. We've got Christians that won't vote her out. They have to vote their conscience and protect innocent babies. As if you want to protect innocent babies more than me. I got to tell you this. It makes me want to barf. Scroll
any
down.
Any one of us in that situation, we'd never see the light of day. Guaranteed.
Never see the light. Okay, here we go. 13 acts of treason. Bill Clinton gave a cutter. Gave Bill Clinton $1 million for his birthday. Pay to play. Two, a Saudi sheikh won't donate money to the Clinton Foundation unless he receives a phone call from Bill Clinton. Staff responds, Bill won't do it unless Sheikh Mo has sent us his $6 million check. What do you call that? Three, the Iran deal, which Hillary negotiated and defends, condemns the next generation to cleaning up a nuclear war in the Persian Gulf, says John Podesta. Do you understand what I just said there? Condemns the next generation to cleaning up a nuclear war in the Persian Gulf, but I have to vote pro-life. I can't vote for one man who would kill one little baby. No, let him nuke all the daggone Middle East, though. Four. Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta owns 75,000 shares in a Putin-connected energy company that Hillary bartered a deal with. So Podesta could get rich selling our uranium to the Russians. Oh, yeah, but Trump called pussy 11 years ago. Christians can't vote him out. See, Christians are mad because I just used that word. Some of you say, oh, coach. Transcripts, number five. Transcripts from Hillary's lucrative closed-door paid speeches delivered to the elite financial firms and other special interest groups have finally surfaced, and they are all sellouts. Read them. Six. Hey, folks. These aren't just breaking the law. These are all acts of treason. Yeah, but Trump mistreats women. He's been divorced 3 times. Clinton staff conspiring to stage a leaking of favorable excerpts from his Wall Street speech in an effort to calm down the public while leaving out more damaging parts. Seven, the leaked private speech by Clinton says you need both a public and a private position. She said it to the bankers. Eight, Hillary said, my dream is a hemispheric common market with open trade and open borders. She said it in her own words at a speech to Goldman Sachs and Trump abuses women. He actually put his hand on a woman's knee on a flight. Number 9, a leaked private speech transcript shows Clinton's warm ties to Wall Street's most powerful figures. Clinton says, there is such a bias against people who have led successful and or complicated lives. The pressure on officials to sell or divest assets in order to serve, she added, had become very onerous and unnecessary. She's doing the banker's bidding for globalism. She's not president of the United States. She wants to be president of the world. Trump wants to make America great again. Hillary wants to make the globe great again by walking all over Americans, number 10. In her leaked private speech to Goldman Sachs, Clinton said, Wall Street was only accountable to the financial crisis for political reasons. The blame placed on the United States banking system for the crisis could have been avoided in terms of both misunderstanding and really politicizing what had happened. 11, in a leaked private speech, Clinton said the U.S. will ring China with missile defense and has a right to rename the Pacific Ocean the American Sea. Do you believe this demon? 12, Hillary Clinton flipped her public position on TPP after her team discussed how she would be eaten alive by labor if she made public what she really believed. Remember, public and private positions? And Clinton's speechwriter, number 13, says, we're trying to find a good way to leak her opposition to the pipeline without her having actually say it. Well, but you can't vote for Trump. Oh, my goodness. He made lewd comments about his daughter. Oh, he gave money to the Clintons. Oh, we can't elect him. You guys read the Republican platform? Have you read the Republican platform? I'm going to dig for it here in a minute. Hey, Jared, play this 4-minute clip from Lou Dobbs. Lou Dobbs. There are very few people anymore on media that I trust. I kind of like Lou Dobbs. Go ahead and play that, Jared. I'm sorry, man. I did. I always do that too. I ought to give you a little bit more notice. A little bit more notice. Lou Dobbs is going to say the Clinton cartel emits the foulest stench of all, and see if you agree with this. But you can't vote for Trump. He gave him money.
A few thoughts now on Donald Trump's campaign for president. Donald Trump has almost single-handedly led a shift in American presidential politics. A shift that is as profound as it is permanent. For years, our middle class have waited for someone, anyone, to take down the culture of corruption in Washington, to drain the rancid swamp that our nation's capital has become. But the inhabitants of that swamp have, over time, become a federally protected species. And only one person has had the guts to step up and take on the vicious, selfish, greedy, powerful denizens of that swamp, who long ago took our government from the people and turned it over to the special interests, the wealthy, the partisans, and, of course, the Clinton cartel amidst the foulest stench of all.
Amen.
Producing by far the most corrupt, dishonest candidate, and, in my opinion, the most dangerous presidential nominee ever nominated by either party. She's crooked, all right. Trump says it straight out. The Clinton cartel, backed by the corporate and union lobbyists, who have worked together to ship good-paying American jobs overseas, and our middle class be damned, they say. The bought and paid for politicians of both parties, the titans of industry that include Bill Gates favoring cheap foreign labor over good-paying American jobs, passing the torch to the next generation of CEOs like Mark Zuckerberg, who want to do the same. But Donald Trump has said no more. Think about this. He is the only voice in American politics who is risking his fortune, his life, to speak truth to power. The left-wing mainstream media fear him as they have no other person in politics or public life. The political left and their house organs, namely the Washington Post and New York Times, savage Donald Trump daily. They insult him, they mock him, they attack his family, his wife, his children, all because he is the only one who has chosen to give the tens of millions of Americans who've lost their jobs, their standard of living, and until Trump arrived, all hope of ever having prosperity and strength restored to them or our nation. Donald Trump is the anti-politician, the anti-elite, the anti-establishment candidate Americans have been waiting for. And now the question is, will the American people stand up for the man who is risking all to make America great again? There's no doubt that Trump is the transformative political figure of our time. He is a true American leader. He is an individual figure of strength. He is an individual, a rugged and unique character, not a conformist, and yes, he has courage. While the elites mock him, they try to marginalize him with insults, and the media can't mask their sudden realization that Trump is now bigger than the mob that our media serves, better than the establishment hacks and denizens ever imagined he could be, and a powerful threat to them all, the rigged system upon which their wealth and comfort is built, and to the puny, feeble dissenters, the little bands of Bushes and Mitt-like minions who resent their smallness all the more in the face of a man of character and force and spirit and loyalty to America and to all that our nation stands for. They fear him, make no mistake, and they would destroy him. The question is not Trump's failings and flaws. He has them. But in greater measure, he's got guts and ideals, and he's the man in the arena. And I believe he is the leader this country desperately needs. The question is, are there enough Americans worthy of such a leader? I believe the answer will decide our fate as a nation.
Wow. Wow. Hey, Larry, go ahead and bring up Michael there. We'll see if we got a caller. Let Michael jump in here. Good to have you back, Larry.
Okay, Michael.
You're up, Mike.
Hey, Coach, I just wanted to, I'm having trouble with my camera. The thing is that this, Christians are dumb. This is the very reason why the church has no effect on what's going on in the culture. Because if we're arguing about whether he's moral enough, I mean, the man doesn't drink. He doesn't do drugs. He's raised a family that don't do that. He doesn't get involved. He hadn't even had a vaccination. This man is different than most, even Christians, who are duped into whatever is going on in the culture. This is not the time to be arguing amongst ourselves whether he's morally sound or not. It's time to save the country. We're at deep cock. We need something more than what we're doing right now, and that's why the church is so irrelevant. We're not seeking something that the founding fathers, who were all kinds of Christians, I mean, they were from different churches, different blends of Christianity, and they put together a constitution and a way of living together, and here we are arguing over some man when the choice between a man and a witch is very clear.
Mike, that's great. That's a great line, brother. Because it is, isn't it? It's a choice between a man and a witch. And here is our reality. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for the call. Here's the reality, guys. We can admit it or we cannot admit it. Donald Trump, the only reason Donald Trump will not be the next president of the United States, the only reason, are Christians. Anybody want to argue that point? If Christians don't turn out and support Donald Trump, he won't win. If Christians do turn out and support Donald Trump, he'll win. What's your take on it, Mike?
You're absolutely right. I got a call from a highly placed operative, and he told me precisely that. There's softness in the Christian vote, the evangelical Christian vote, and it's looking like 5 to 10% possibly going away, sitting on its hands. because of what we're talking about in the show today. We cannot. Michael was spot on. We can't let that happen.
Keep speaking out, coach.
All the way till the election.
No trespassing sign. See, the no trespassing sign. We cannot get past the no trespassing sign. We cannot see that trespassing and jumping over that fence will lead to a greater good. We cannot. The church cannot see that. It is pietism. It's the spirit of the leaven of the Pharisees. I have many friends who I love with all my heart, and I would say to them, brother, I am speaking to you. I'm speaking to you. Your personal holiness does not supersede the greater good for the rest of us. Your personal holiness does not supersede the greater good for the rest of us. I'm running out of time. I'm going to get this tomorrow. The Republican platform. See, here's part of the issue. Man, I'm running out of time. Guys. We're not electing a king. We're not electing a king. Trump can't come in and make laws. Can't do it. We have a Republican House and we have a Republican Congress. They pass the laws. They send it to the White House. Will Trump sign it or will Hillary sign it? This is not hard. He's already said he will sign them. He'll sign it. He'll overturn Obamacare. He'll close the borders. He'll do away with the Johnson Amendment. Come on, Congress, give me the law. I'll sign it. Will Hillary sign any of those? Will sign any of those? You say, well, Trump's pro-life with exceptions. There's no bigger pro-lifer than me. I understand that. Hillary is pro-death with no exceptions. Quit being on your pietistic, religious, pharisaical high horse. This is for the rescuing of Western civilization. That's the way I see it. Hey, if you're mad at me, you weren't really my friend to begin with. If you're one of those who've been questioning me on Facebook about my own personal stand, well, take it and put it where the sun don't shine. Open your daggone eyes. Get your nose out of the Bible. Apply it. Jesus said it's a law written on the heart. You mean to tell me you can't walk in to a ballot box and vote against Hillary Clinton? Your righteousness won't allow you to do that. Wake up. Look around at all the Christian leaders who are in support of Donald Trump. And what's your answer going to be? Oh, they're all sellouts. That's right. They're not as righteous as you. Somebody say amen, because that's good, and they needed to hear it.
I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree that there be no division among you, that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment.
Where are you reading that, JR?
1 Corinthians 1:10.
And we aren't, are we?
Nope, and that's the problem.
You know what they've divided us over, JR? Trump's personal morality.
We got a humility problem, Coach.
Yeah, we do.
We need to humble ourselves.
We do. We do. And how about this? JR. Oh, I'm about out of time. We got a bunch of churches where the gospel's preached, and at the end of it, they do an altar call, and people walk down the aisle, and they leave and they tell everybody how many people got saved. Everybody got saved. Oh my goodness, we had 25 salvations last night. And Donald Trump, people tell us, got saved. And what do people say? No, no way. No, he didn't get saved. No. Can't we see our own hypocrisy? Can't we see it? Oh, I wish they would elect me, but they're not going to. They're not going to elect me. I wish they'd elect Tom Hoefling, but they're not going to. They're going to elect Donald Trump, or Hillary Clinton. And if they can convince enough Christians that Donald Trump is immoral in his own personal life, if they can get enough Christians to hang their hat on the leaven of the Pharisees, Hillary will be the next president. It's funny, isn't it? All the NASCAR boys, all the old union boys, all the coal workers, they're all for Trump. It's those people in the church that can't be for him. God bless you. We'll see you all tomorrow.